Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We were just talking about hope in this particular time and how to get back to our first love again. The reason why I started talking about that and sharing that with you is because yesterday, Leon Panetta, the original assistant of the Bill Clinton administration, by the way, but the Secretary of Defense, and is departing where, I mean, you're looking at just major things that they're unfolding and the times that they're unfolding it. So here he's about to leave. So what you do is the guy that's going to leave, go ahead and let him take the big hit. And then he leaves, and the next guy, he just has to deal with, well, you know, I didn't make the decision. And, and these guys are all one peas in one pod. I mean, they're all the same in the context of that. But they removed the ban. They're removing the ban of women in combat in the military. This is huge. Can you, I mean, that front line, I mean, obviously women have been in the military, but in regards to being front line where they're the grunt on the front, you know?
Right.
The grunt on the front where you're sending your mother, your daughter, you know, your sister to pay the price for you so that you can have freedom. I mean, I understand the culture that we're in. The culture says, some of the culture says, that the squeaky wheel part of the culture, not the majority of the culture, but the squeaky wheel who gets the oil, you know, and it's amazing how minorities in the culture end up turning the entire culture. They said it takes 10% of a culture to turn it. It takes 10% of a nation to turn it. Isn't that interesting? A tithe.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Imagine if just 10% of the church woke up. Anyway, so, you know, in the context of that, that, you know, sending your mother to war while you stay home.
Wow.
Sending your mother to war. I'm not saying women are not smart, they're not strong, they can't do it. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, sending your mama to war? I mean, how can you justify sending your mother to war so you can live on the fat of the land? Mm-hmm. What have we done? Sending your sister to war so you can live on the fat of the land? I mean, you're going to stay in your job while your sister enrolls in the military and goes to the front line and comes back with a missing limb or, you know, wound or disfigurement or death. Mm-hmm. And her name's carved in some stone somewhere to remember what we sent her to.
Wow. I think about during I believe that the Iraqi war, when one of the female soldiers was held hostage, and the pure dread on that poor woman's face. I believe she had some children at home. You felt so bad. Your heart reached out to her and saying, "What, you know, what's she doing in that type of situation?" It's just, I mean, it's awful. It's awful. But this is an entitlement generation that, you know, where we come to, we allow your mother, your sister to go out there to carry a gun for you.
I don't care if I'm 70 years old. I'm not going to send my daughter to fight for me.
Hello?
Mm-mm. I mean, she'll have to fight me to go to fight for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm not saying she wouldn't, but I'm just saying that I'm not going to say, okay, well, just go ahead and fight for me. I mean, if I'm 90, I'm not going to just send, okay, you know, go out there and have bombs blow up in your face and walk over IEDs and these type of things. Not my daughter. I'm not going to do that. And that's not disrespecting her. That's loving her and honoring who she is as a person and as my daughter. And I think what they're doing, they're setting the groundwork for our first female president. That if that ban is still in, how can you justify having a commander-in-chief who is a lady? And this is all pieces coming together. You're going to see, I'm telling you, you're going to see, unless God intervenes, the next president of the United States is going to be Hillary Rodham Clinton. I just really feel it. I see it just in the natural sense, but also it's just something that I believe the Lord's just revealing to me. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Realize God, things can be set up and it's going to happen. But then because we pray, then God turns it. But in it, not saying that she's the wrong person or right person. I'm just saying that we can pray and seek God for who our future leaders will be. And he'll choose them differently if we will choose him in the context of that. But if everything remaining the same, if nothing changes, and we haven't seen a lot of change, you know what I'm saying? You know? Not talking on any campaign things or anything. Well, we have seen a lot of change.
In regards to a lot of change.
Men's hearts. I'm talking about men's hearts here. I'm not talking about stuff and things or phones. But you just haven't seen a lot of change. People don't, they're just going deeper and deeper into the opposite area that God says go. And in the context of that, that I really believe that she is the logical response to a culture, present day culture. And she's been running this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's very important. It's very important, you know, who that we're praying for, who our next president is going to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, offices only last for 4 years. And they'll be campaigning in a couple hours for the next presidency.
They probably already have started. It's time to pray now.
Yeah, we need to pray and ask God for whoever it's going to be. And we need to get past any kind of party system and go to God's value system and just say, you know, help us, Lord, to find the people who stand up for godly values. And I was reading this morning in my time with the Lord in Ezekiel where God just had it with Israel. He just had it. And he was talking about this. He says, you are so evil. You've done so many bad things that even the nations around you, by the way, which weren't Israel, which weren't God's chosen people, who didn't have God's command, who didn't have the pillar of fire and a cloud and manna and parted waters. I mean, they didn't have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He's just what he compared them to them. He said, you don't even live by their standards. You know, which tells us that, you know, if we can't find a godly person, we can find somebody with standards, you know, who has God as right standards at least. I mean, God may would have kept back his horrific loosing of a storm on Israel. It was terrible. It was really bad. Scattering them, destroying them, laying their dead bodies at the feet of their idols. I mean, it was horrific. Yeah. And he said, you pushed me away with your evil. You just pushed me away. And it's lovely. This, by the way, if you want, you know, we're all walking this and we're growing and learning in God. But from what I've learned of God, it's about love. I mean, you're going to be offended if somebody you love diss you or, you know, your husband goes out with another woman. I mean, come on. You know, that's just love. It's jealousy. It's like you're hurting my heart over and over again. And, you know, he's God. And he has these emotions and feelings. And if you can begin to relate to God the way you expect to be related to, you'll find out it's not that it's easy for you to say no because you don't want to hurt the heart of God. And basically he's saying, listen, you've hurt me so bad. I just can't. You're pushing me away. Oh. And what I does when we just give ourselves over and just keep going darker and darker and darker, which means everything God said don't do, we're doing and acting if it's right. We're just rejecting him. And it's pushing him away. I mean, he told Moses when he was looking at all the mess for Israel and the wilderness and all that, he says, listen, I'm out of here. You know, your people. And, of course, Moses is like, excuse me, your holiness.
Right.
I was on the backside of the desert. I just ran for my life 40 years prior to that. And I was okay. I was okay.
I
had me a J-O-B. I was there. I was, you know, making a living, and all of a sudden, you set this bush on fire, and I wouldn't even notice it, but I happened to smell some smoke, looked around. I was like, oh, my goodness, it's on fire. I'm like, what meanest thou this? You remember what I said? And then all of a sudden, I found out it was you, and you're holding, I took my shoes off, you know, because you told me this ground's holy, you know, and you convinced me when I said, no, 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 no. You said, yes, 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 and then you gave me a liar, Aaron, to go with me. To help me out, to speak for me. He sent me a liar to go with me to be able to talk. And so, but remember, I was reluctant. I was reluctant. They're not my people. They're your people. And they're like, think about it. You know, a friend of God is going back and forth with God. And it's just, to me, it's just like two people talking about someone else that they love.
Mm.
Because Moses loved Israel, the Jews, and God loved the Jews. And he loved them, but they hurt. He'd been hurt.
Yeah,
and so God was ready to just whack him out and start again. He's like, just kill them all, kill them all. And what mother has not ever watched her children doing all kinds of stuff like, that's it, it's over. But it's because she's been hurt, or her father, because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
And that's what God said. He says, listen, it's just over. I'll start over with you, Moses. And it's this love thing, tension going on, because Moses loved God and loved Jews too, just like God did. And so Moses' heart is hurt. And so, but Moses said, but think about this. Think about this, what they're going to say. They're going to say that you were God enough to free them from bondage, but you weren't God enough to save them in the wilderness. He just brought them out here for them to die. He was interceding for what he loved. And so, you know, God's going, oh, great, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay, well, okay, we'll just go on with this. I mean, it was just a conversation. You know, we weren't there, and everybody tries to picture how it was, but if he's created us in his own image, his own likeness, it was a conversation. It was a holy conversation. And it's because of love. And understanding that, then it helps you go, when you do sin, it's real easy to go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I said that. Oh, God, forgive me for that. I probably hurt your heart. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Remove that from me. It's much easier than saying you have some religious rules you need to follow and, you know, saying, okay, well, I did bad, so I got to say, you know, so many of these and 12 of those and put some money in a poor box or something. That it's a relationship, and we're dealing with the heart of God, and he's so in love with you. When you read the Song of Solomon, you can hear, when you understand that he didn't write that so we could voyeuristically watch somebody's life from history. That was written for us to see us as the bridegroom, as the bride, and him as the bridegroom, and see how he wants to love us and make himself known to us. But yet we have to come after him. And once we taste a little bit of him, we want to go further for him. And we're so desperate to find him that other people see us chasing him and they say, who is this God? Who is this man? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's how this is what it is. It's God's in love with you. And understand that. So when you're seeing things like sending our mothers on the front line, or your daughters or your sisters to the front line, you know, you got to ask the question, you know, this has to hurt the heart of God. But then you back up and say, but, you know, our mothers and our sisters and our daughters have been aborting their children. They've been aborting their children.
Mm-hmm.
Every 30 seconds for the last 40 years, 55 million children have been aborted. And you got to go, oh my goodness, could this be, when you think about it, right, could this be? And it's like, we need to stop.
Yeah.
We need to stop. When you put this together, it's like, when you read Ezekiel and how God responds, listen, you're pushing me away. You're pushing me away. Listen, I'm not going to relent. I'm going to bring this thing. You've been all, you know, it's just like, listen. And he's obviously wanting Israel to turn. But it's like we keep on killing our children every day, and we're justifying it, and we make laws to support it. We fund it with our taxpayer dollars, and now we're actually sending, and we're the commercial that we talked about, that they're promoting the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is a law. It was a courtroom scene that happened, you know, 40 years ago, that once that they ruled that it's legal to be able to abort your child, then 55 million children have been killed. But now they're wanting to send the women to the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on, you know, this stuff is Roe versus Wade. And understanding this is you got to really think about what's happening here and why is it happening. And
in the midst of transitions, like, up with that? Come on.
Yeah. And then you got to go back and say, okay, well, that's women in general. But what about the women who are Christian and the men who are Christian and marriages and family? And the truth is that the nation, I believe, is only reflecting the church, because the church has been out of order for years.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage has been out of order. It's been out of order. They say, you know, divorce is down. You know why it's down? Because people aren't getting married.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an oddity. You're like, oh, you're getting married? It's like,
yeah.
Like, wow. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And so that this could be, all this is, could be fruit. Our daughters and wives and mothers are being sent to the front lines to fight for us. And the consequences of that is, see, I've been to the VA hospitals and saw the soldiers who have relentlessly, you know, given their lives for us, and their well-being and their health for us, and the things that they suffer to be able to do that for us. And it's just like, how can that equate in your brain to say that you don't mind sending your mama to the front lines? I'm talking about support and different things like that. I'm talking about the grunt on the front, you know, right? The very front. You say charge, and your mama's, I just can't even picture. I can't have a paradigm for this.
I have a grid for that.
Yeah, your mom's on the front line going, ah! It's like, ma, I just want Cheerios. What's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, and I can't say that. Anyway, so I got a lot of good jokes I can never tell, but boy, they were really funny. But it's just like, that. Does that make sense to you? Have we lost that much compassion and that much honor for our mothers and our wives and our daughters that we not only don't open a door for them, but we actually send them to the war to fight on the front lines for us so that we can actually live in our, you know, rich nation as America's is? And it's like, how can that be? But, you know, it's, you think about how this started. It started with people being pulled into, you know, hey, we want to pay for your reproductive things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going, yeah. And then it went from a challenge to the Catholic Church. You're going to have to pay for it too. Yeah. And then finally they made it part of their platform. Women can kill their children. Yay. Democratic National Convention. Yay. And then they have the freedom to do that. And then all of a sudden it's like, what did you just say?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to go die on the front?
Here's a gun.
Oh, heaven. I wanted all these freedoms, but I didn't want all the stuff with it.
Right.
And it's like, look how this thing progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Booing God, cheering, voting people in that's different than God's value system. And now all of a sudden, they're going to send yourself up to the front lines. It's like, you're going to have to sign up for selective service, where guys had to sign up for selective service. You're not going to be able to get your college education, your college grants and stuff and loans unless you sign up, ma'am, to be able to go to war.
Oh, wow.
And where we're going,
that's the first thing.
And the reason why they do that, where we're going, is a draft. At some point, when the government gets big enough, they'll just say, hey, we need bodies. We need people out here on the front lines, like it was in the Vietnam War. And all of a sudden, can you imagine? It's like you're eating dinner with your daughter one night, and she's talking about her college aspirations or she's getting married or something, and she's like 18 years old. And then all of a sudden you open up the mail, you're laughing and talking, and you got a letter in there that says, what, baby, what? She says, I don't understand. What do you mean? I got a message from the Secretary of Defense. Are you serious? It's got to be a hoax. No. But what does it say? I got a report for duty. I got to report for duty next week. I got to go get my physical, and they're going to send me to boot camp, and they want me to fight on the front, fight on the war happening in the Middle East or something.
Okay.
And the dad goes, no. Are you serious? And then the father has to watch his daughter forced to go to war. He says, oh, no, send me. Oh, you're too old. We don't take anybody over 40. We don't take all these. And so he has to watch his daughter. So, well, some may say, go to Canada. Baby, I don't want you on the front lines. Not because you don't want to stand up for your country. It's like they turn you down for her.
Yeah.
But how is that? I mean, do you love your daughters? Do you love your wives? Do you love your mothers? I mean, come on. You know, when I see my mother, I kiss her on her right cheek. I give her a hug and I love her. I'm not going to send my mama to war for me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It don't even make sense. But we've lost our gender identities. It's like gender dysphoria now. No, there's no set anymore. There's like what is up, what is down, what is right, what is left. And my goodness, this is what brought this on. The Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, is removing the ban for women on the combat roles, which is 230-something thousand positions, I believe, in the military. Well, I think about this. You know, when you think about the progression of it, I heard that, you know, sin first comes as fascination. That's pretty interesting. That's like, wow. You know, you're just kind of fascinated with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's like, but didn't God say, and then all of a sudden Satan sends somebody to talk to you and says, well, he really didn't say that, and you're fascinated with the whole thing.
Mm.
By the way, run when fascination even begins to even come near you. Because fascination then turns into form, then sin forms. It begins to form, and all of a sudden a plot to sin or a scheme to sin, or, you know, it's already formed. Now you can actually, you're seeing this thing you were once fascinated with, now you're actually seeing is part of your life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it becomes a fact. It becomes a fact in your life. It starts as a fascination, then it forms, and then it becomes a fact. And that's what happened here. The fascination, well, what is it? You know, if the government did pay for my birth control and all that kind of stuff, you know, why don't I, you know? And then all of a sudden it began to form, and all of a sudden it turned into this huge thing. and people bought into it. Now it's a fact.
Wow.
Now it's a fact. And not only that, is you're looking at the front lines.
Wow.
You're registering for a selective service. You wanted to be able to do away with your child, but now the country is going to do away with you. Mm. I mean, look at that. Is that wild?
Wow.
Wow.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like, you know, we need to repent. You know, we need to turn from this. We need to understand, listen, it's not okay to take life. It's not okay to kill a child. It's not okay to have it in our land or in our cities and in our, it's just not okay. We should protect life. And God holds us accountable for every drop of blood. And if this, by the way, if this has happened to you, understand that you just got to acknowledge it for what it is, you know, and ask God to forgive you.
Yeah.
You know, and then he will forgive you and he'll restore you. Then you ask him to heal you. And then you say, Lord, give me the grace not to remain silent. Help me to speak out now to preserve future generations who are going to face the same thing I faced that I got fascinated with. It began to form in my life. And all of a sudden it became a fact in my life and I can't get away from it. So I had to go to the cross, Lord, and you take this from me. And then you can talk to other people and you can encourage them. Say, listen, don't do it. This is what I went through when I did it. I was convinced that it would just be a moment, I'd be over it. But the truth is, when you end life, you're never over it. You're never over it. And God will forgive you. God will heal you. But you don't. At some point, you don't even want to be over it, you know. And you just want to say, you know what? You can prevent that from happening in your life by listening to the wisdom I'm sharing with you. Let me share you with my experience. You can borrow this experience instead of buying it. And we're going to have to, if we're wanting America, if the church is wanting America to turn back, we got to raise up and say, you know, abortion is wrong. Killing a child in the womb at any point is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And now, you know, the day after and the Plan B type pills, they're killing them before they even make it to the doctor. You know, but all of that is, you know, the same thing,
mm-hmm.
all the same thing right there. So it's just, you know, the steps of things and understand that, you know, a fish is swimming around in the water and you're out there with your fish line and your hook and your reel, rod and reel, and you have a bait, a worm or a fly or whatever on the end of your fish line, that if that fish becomes fascinated with that bait, if he becomes fascinated with it, it'll begin to form as an idea. So I'm going to go after it. That's food.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a fact that he becomes your food.
Hmm.
He thinks he's going for food, but he ends up becoming food.
Wow.
Food for the fodder. I mean, think about it. The very thing that he thought he was getting is the very thing he became. The very thing that fish thought he was getting was food. He actually was going to become food for that fisherman. And understand, Satan's a deceiver. He will cause you to think what you're actually going for is what you're going to get, but that's what you're going to become for someone else.
Mm.
Wow.
That's what's going to happen to you. He hates us because we're made in the image and the likeness of God, all mankind. And he's jealous of you, and he wants to destroy you, especially before you meet God, if you haven't met him yet and made him the Lord of your life. But just understand, when you're thinking about sin, that's how it can be perceived, and understand that.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.